able to stand in front of you today and
bring the word of God. Before I do so, I will ask my fellow Africans after the service if we can have a few minutes to meet. We have a few things to talk about in regard to evangelism and also the upcoming event of the 15th. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles in John chapter 16. And to honor the word of God, I shall ask each and every one of us to stand up while we're doing the reading, please. John chapter 16. We won't read the whole text, but we will focus only on two verses that I want us to read. Verse 32 and 33. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Once again, Heavenly Father, we want to give you all the glory, to appreciate you, and to say thank you for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for many miracles that each and every one of us, in one way or another, we are experimenting day by day. Thank you for families that we have around us. Thank you for friends. And thank you especially for this spiritual family that we have. Thank you for your love that we see in each and every one of us every time we meet. To you be the glory, Father. The world is shaken by many troubles, O Lord. And as your children, we are not exempt of those troubles. But we know that we are not alone. You are with us. Even when things around us seem to be very dark, but you are there. We can still see your light shining in our heart. Even now, Father, we want to give you all the glory and to consecrate afresh ourselves to you. Because we know without your help, we won't be able to overcome this world. The victory is already there. It's for us to walk in it. And only with your help, only with your guidance, that we will be able to walk in this victory. We ask you, Father, to seal your words in our hearts and to receive the glory, the honor in everything. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Be of good courage. If I have to entitle the message, that's the kind of title I can give. Be of good courage. I'm not planning to go very deep into all the details, pulling around verses connected to this portion of the Bible. My heart desire is that the message be presented in simplicity And I have asked the Lord to do something for every person present here. Deep in my heart, I know, and I can feel it, that all of us, in one way or another, we go through all sorts of troubles, trials, and tribulations. According to this simple text, going through troubles is not something strange. Our Lord Jesus Christ went through all sorts of troubles as well. Although he was righteous in everything he was doing, but being in this world, trouble came to him. And the good news is that he has overcome the world. Our lives are in him. The victory he won over this world is our victory. As long as we remain connected to him, even though our troubles can make us cry, but there is a potential of peace there. It's only a matter of connecting ourselves, as the pastor was saying here, to him, to remain in his Shekinah glory. And that peace, which is there, available, will fill our heart and crush down the pain, the sorrows, the crying, the lamentations, the complaints that we can have. I'm not saying that it's abnormal to complain in life. One of my English friends said that apparently there is a saying here in Yorkshire that if you have nothing to complain about in life, then your life is miserable. Just a word to say that in the course of life, you can come across difficulties, all sorts of problems. And those problems can make you become a person who complains a lot. Well, shall we be content to remain in those shoes of a person who has to complain every time? Where will be the difference between us who have hope and faith in Jesus Christ and those who don't have any hope? We've said it here time after time that those without the kind of hope we have, they try to fill the emptiness of the heart with material things. But at the end, they crush their heads against the wall. Those materials are unable to provide the kind of peace which is available for me and you. But the reality is that even though we have that peace available there for us to walk in and to enjoy, still, many times we find ourselves in the same boat as those who have no hope, simply because we choose to focus on those difficulties, those troubles that we're going through, rather than focusing on the peace which is there. Is that peace which in reality will make a difference, a neat difference between us and those without hope? And when they look at us, we don't have the kind of money they have, the kind of wealth they have, but they will envy our life. They can come to us and ask, "What is your secret? I have a job, a dream job that anyone can desire. I have plenty of money compared to you. But when I look at you, I find something special in you. Not that you went out there to do publicity that look at me. I'm good. No. He can look at you and tell. The same as when you look at somebody in trouble, you can tell. You don't need a person to open the mouth and start telling you all his life. You can look at the person, you can feel it, you can sense it, that this person is in trouble. In the same way, if we apply our heart to focus on the provided peace which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way of focusing on that is through prayer. Once you abandon the love of prayer, then you are indeed in trouble. You won't be able to control yourself. Your spirituality will lose its balance. Only prayer will sustain you. Only prayer will make you live in the victory provided. May the Lord help. You will leave me all alone, Jesus says to his disciples. He was predicting the trouble that was ahead of him. How? Because of the mission he came to fulfill here on earth, to save me and you. How? Soldiers will come. How he will be arrested, and how those who were there, eating, sleeping, walking, doing everything with him, even them, they're going to be scattered, they're going to abandon him, to leave him all alone. In other words, they rejected him when that happened. Because you can't say that you are with me when trouble comes to me, and you run away, you run for your life. No, we are not one. You reject me. You are not ready to die with me. You are not ready to suffer with me. And he told that to his disciples, that a time is coming when even you are going to leave me alone. In Matthew, I think chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible is saying that a slave is no greater than his master. The things that our Lord Jesus Christ endured, like it or not, somehow we have to endure them. If he was rejected by his own, those disciples that day and night he was with them, he fed them, he comforted them, he did everything a master can do for his disciples. When trouble came to Jesus, they fled. In the same way, this kind of trouble can come to you. Maybe it has already come to you. When your family members reject you, when the one who promised you love, that day or night, in rain or sun, shine, I will be there for you. And you see that person turning against you, telling lies against you, doing everything to bring you down. crush even the small thing you were left with, your dignity, bring it down. I don't know the kind of trouble you went through in your life. I'm not looking at people who were far away from you, but those who were closer to your heart. Parents, for instance. Your partner, for instance. Children or family members. Your best friends. Who one day they turn against you. Maybe those in the church setting. Your colleagues that you are working with, serving the Lord with. But one day they chose to turn you the back and to say all kinds of evil things against you. It's trouble. Jesus went through that. You know, when all these things came in our lives, maybe we were surprised. They just happened. But in the case of Jesus, he was not surprised. He knew in advance. And how difficult is that? I know that Ken tomorrow is going to deny me, to reject me, but still, I continue to do good to him, even though I know that tomorrow, not 1 year, but tomorrow, when soldiers will come, he will say, I don't know this guy. Look the kind of heart, the kind of care, the kind of love Jesus had. He remained with them, even though he knew that when trouble will be there, they won't stand by his side. They will run away. And Jesus lives in us. And that's where we have to make a difference with the world. He can reveal himself to you that this is the situation laying ahead of you. Trouble will come through this person. What do you have to do? To hate the person? To run away from the person? Or to do what? Continue to bless the person. Don't look at the person as the evil himself. But look at the evil behind the person. Don't forget the love that person over the years have been sharing with you. Consider the kind of spiritual attack the person is exposed to. And do all you can to save that person. And all can be done by prayer. Because in time of trouble, yes, and no, that you can say to that targeted person by the devil will be misinterpreted. If you say yes, it's wrong. If you say no, it's wrong. Only prayer can talk volume compared to words. Is there anybody currently going through trouble? Don't worry. Jesus is there. I'm an African, but it happens that I'm living in this country. Once I told you, I shared with you how I went through all kind of rejections since my childhood. Lived a life of an outsider, outcast. Up to the time I gave my life to Jesus and understood that having a place here on earth is nothing compared to my identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some people among us who in this country are being rejected. Maybe simply because the person, the officer from immigration who's dealing with the case, for one reason or another, in spite of the ground for which that person have to be granted a leave to remain in this country, but that officer choose just to reject the case. We have a city. We have hope. And we are not alone. Even if that officer choose to say to our brother or our sister that we don't want you here, we have to deport you, but Jesus is still alive. When the disciples rejected Jesus, abandoned Jesus, dumped Jesus to face his fate alone, the Father was with him. And that's what he said here. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. When they were piercing his hand, he knew that he's not alone. The Father was there. When you're crying alone in your bedroom, you are not alone. Your pastor might not be there, but the Lord is with you. He's there with you. When I read the Bible, I praise God. To look, for instance, at a case of those who went through the kind of horrible trouble that one can imagine to be a leper. If you read your Bible in Numbers chapter 5, verse 2 to verse 3, you're going to find there that the Bible is putting lepers in a specific category of those who were treated as the outcast, the rejected one by the society. They couldn't mingle with the rest of the society. They were dumped outside the city. They were required to live outside the city in the camp of lepers. Now imagine, put yourself in the shoes of those lepers. And their misery did not stop there. In Leviticus chapter 13, from verse 45 to 46, the Bible says that whenever a normal person like you is passing by, these lepers, they had to shout out loud in order to warn others to keep away from them as they walk by the street. They were initially suffering from that condition. The leprosy that they had was destroying them, killing them day and night. They were rejected. They couldn't go inside the city. In addition to that, if by any circumstance, Leon is passing by and I'm a leper, I had to shout, "Keep away, I'm a leper. Keep away. Don't come closer to me." But we see in the Bible Jesus healing these people. Giving them dignity in life. providing healing, complete healing to this kind of people. When you read your Bible in Luke chapter 17, you're going to find the story of 10 lepers that met with Jesus. He didn't consider them as the outcast. No. He did not run away from them. He didn't do that. What he did, he commanded them to go and present themselves to the priest. Not to a priest, but to the priest. Because in the city were many priests. So these 10 lepers were recommended to go and to show themselves to the priest. The priest had the responsibility to assess them, to assess the healing that they are indeed healed. But you're going to notice in that chapter that Jesus did not heal them immediately, like in other cases where he touched the leper and healed them. But he commanded them, saying, go and present yourself to the priest. And all the 10 lepers did so. They turned back. They started to make a move in obedience to the command Jesus gave. As they were on the way to the priest, healing was given to them. In the same way that we've been commanded here, that we have to keep praying, that balance of prayer for the glory of God to be permanent in our lives. It's a command. Only one will step in obedience, start practicing what we are required to do. The glory will come. Don't wait the glory to come before you obey the command. Apply your heart to obedience, and then you'll see the glory of God coming in your life. And all the troubles in your life fading away, disappearing. But we are not saying that praying is easy. No. You might find yourself kneeling down, but you are short of words. You don't know what to tell the Lord. Because the pain that you have in your heart is so heavy, and you don't have proper way to express the kind of pain you have in your heart. When you feel that everybody else in the world is okay, only me, that I'm not okay. When you feel that you've been nudged in your heart by your best friend, by your partner, by your parents, by your family members, you say anybody else could do this but you, not you. I could take it if it was a stranger, but since it came from you, I can't take this one. It's not easy in that condition to manage to pray. But it's not also impossible. It's feasible. You have to persevere. Say, Lord, I can't manage to pray, but help me. Give me the strength that I need. Comfort my soul. May your spirit help me to pray. The Bible says that these 10 lepers, all of them, were healed. But the story goes on saying that among all the ten, only one, a Samaritan, came back. He accepted the trouble to travel back to Jesus and tell him, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I didn't have life, but you brought life back in me. Only one, a foreigner who came back. Many times we act like those nine lepers. After receiving the healing from the Lord, it's even hard to remember. Well, don't take this personal, since I am also included. We've been asked testimonies here. Only one person came for our pastor. Does it mean we didn't have miracles happening in our life? I don't know. Let me talk about myself. Does it mean since I didn't step at the frontier, there is no miracle that the Lord performs in my life? Maybe I consider a miracle in my life finances or any other kind of material thing. In reality, many Christians and those who are not Christians, we most of the times consider blessings that the blessings are connected to material things. But this is another teaching, because we have many things to talk about it. When we read the Bible is urging us to be thankful. And when the Bible starts to enumerate things for which we have to be thankful to God, it's hardly for you to find material things in them. That's why I say it's another study. We have to be thankful for the relationship that we have. I know, and that for sure, that my sister here loves me indeed. It's a subject for me to be thankful to God for my sister. There is nothing I've done to deserve the love that she gives me all the time. Nothing to deserve that. God is the source of that love. He's the one who has poured the love in her heart for me. And she's not expecting anything from me. So why shouldn't I be thankful to God for that? In my times of trouble, why not focus on the love that this sister of mine, she always gives me? Why do I choose to focus on my troubles? In terms of your troubles, be thankful to God. But simple things like this, remembering what the Lord is performing as miracles in your life, around your life, in the kind of relationships that you have, even when other people choose to reject you, to dump you, but still, the faithful ones are there. And the Lord will always use those faithful ones to speak life over your life, to bring to you a word of knowledge, a word that will comfort your soul. Focus on that. Focus on that. Don't wait until all the troubles disappear from your life and from this earth for you to be thankful to God. No, they will be there. But we are connected to a living and mighty Lord. And He will always pass through our friends and relatives to bless us in many ways. I shared a testimony with a friend of mine, Pastor Jody, you met him, in regard to the car that I was blessed with. Now, it happens that that car has been busy helping people to move houses because it's really roomy. I'm managing to put many stuff inside instead of people hiring vans because they don't have money anyway to hire those vans. And the car has been busy helping people. And it's curious to see that whenever that happens, Pastor Jolly is by my side. So all the time, even yesterday when we're doing that, moving a sister from workshop to Sheffield, say, may the Lord remember Bishop. So this guy is giving thanksgiving to the Lord before even I open my mouth to say that. Maybe I'm just enjoying the ride and, well, I have the car. But this man of God always, he says, may the Lord remember me so for this car. Not to say, may the Lord bless you for making the car available, but may the Lord remember me so. May the Lord help us. We have to be thankful to those that the Lord is using to bless us when we are in time of trouble. My prayer now is that, my sister, my brother, if you're going through any kind of trouble, today is a special day. The Lord cannot send a word for that word to return to Him without achieving its mission. And the word today is that the Lord is with you and He wants to put an end to your troubles. But the command is focus. Focus on what the Lord is already doing in your life, and through prayer, cause the glory of God to come in your situation and change that trouble into songs of praises and worship. Let's stand and pray.